Say Your Piece was created with women in mind. Women are often unheard or spoken over, but not here. Here, women speak authentically and spiritually about their life experiences, no matter the subject. The pun is intentional. By saying their piece, they find their peace. Thanks so much for being here. My name is Ali Krasner. Let's dive in. So hello, and welcome to this episode of Say Your Piece. I'm Ali, and this is a first. I'm here with Ali. So I guess we are Ali squared here on the episode today. Ali Roberts, to be precise, right? How are you today, Ali?
I'm good, Ali. How are you?
Good, good. It's funny. I don't even know if we're in the same generation or not. But I feel like in whatever generation I'm in, Ali was a somewhat popular name, A-L-I. But I don't see it so much these days.
No, I don't see it at all, really, anymore. And I have some friends with the same name, but none of them spelled, only one spelled it the same way.
Yeah, sometimes it's like A-L-L-Y, like Ali McBeal is what I tell people.
Right. Yeah. Or A-L-Y, one L, I've seen.
Oh, yeah, with one L.
I have two friends that are A-L-Y.
Yeah, it's awesome to be here with another Ali, because especially in France where I live, it's more of a man's name, so girl power, right?
Yeah, I get that. Like when I'm calling places or people are, you know, calling me that don't know me sometimes, or I'll get emails, you know, Mr. Roberts, or, and I'm like, that would be Ms. So I think a lot of people do refer to it from a male perspective.
Yeah, totally. Well, here we are to put our voices out there as women, right?
That's right.
And Ali, can you tell our listeners where you're calling in from today?
I am calling in from Key West, Florida.
All right.
I'm originally from Philadelphia, born and raised, and I actually just made the move here about 6 weeks ago.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it's like a brand new thing.
It
is. How are you enjoying it?
It's nice. It's nice. Yeah. You know, Key West is an island, so it's really nice to wake up and be completely surrounded by palm trees and the water. I mean, it's a small island, so both sides, I mean, everything is just surrounded by water. Like I can drive down the main street and I'm surrounded by water. So,
wow, living the dream.
It's not a bad place to be living right now in my life.
Awesome. Well, I'm sure that we could talk to you about Florida and Key West all day.
The southernmost point of the United States.
Okay, it is also.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah, I'll have to visit there one day. But anyway, so we're actually here to talk to you about inner child healing, right?
That
which is
right.
A subject that is becoming more and more out there, I suppose, but still a little bit in the shadows and maybe misunderstood. Mm-hmm. So maybe before we dive into that, could you just tell us a little bit about yourself? Who are you and what you do?
Sure. So thanks for the introduction. I am Ali Roberts. I am a health and life coach, certified health and life coach, but I focus more on the life piece because I think life encompasses health. So I don't usually say I'm a health coach and a life coach. I'm just, you know, health is a piece of life, and without it, we don't really have much life. So
true.
It's just one piece of the puzzle. But I have been coaching for several years. It was kind of new. I was in the toy industry in quality assurance.
Okay.
And I worked in global quality assurance in the toy industry for 20 years.
Wow.
And I went through a huge medical, you know, crisis and had my come to Buddha moment in late 2017, where I had to, you know, I was basically facing my own mortality. And in that process, it was a wake up to, am I living my life the way I really want to be living my life? And I realized that I wasn't, that I was doing what I needed to do. I was, I'm a single mother. So I was doing what I needed to do, but I was not doing what I wanted to do. And I didn't have days. I was living many, 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 many years unfulfilled, but still doing what I had to do.
Yeah.
And so you get up every day and you know, it was just Groundhog Day. I got up every day and did the same thing because that's what I knew and that's what had to get done.
Yeah.
But in this moment, I got to make a choice, which I'm really strong and believe in and speak it loud in my practice. But I was at a fork, and I could either go back home to recover and move forward in my life on the same path that I knew it was safe, it was comfortable.
Yeah.
And my job actually was very secure at the time. So I could go right back to that path.
Sure.
Or I could take the other way. I could turn the other direction and I could walk into this huge wall of fear and say, go ahead and start living your life the way you've always wanted to, as scary as it is and as unknown as it is. You get to make a choice. And I took that, you know, road less traveled, I would say, because most people don't take that road.
Yeah. I think you're right.
And that's how I ended up becoming a coach, because I knew that, you know, I grew up being the friend that everybody wanted to talk to about things. I was like a problem solver. You know, I can't say academically I'm a problem solver, but I can say that in life, I was always the problem solver, and I was always the, you know, quote unquote family physician and family therapist. And it, in this journey that I went through, it really came to me and through me that I had something to give back to people. And I had a way of helping other people take that road less traveled.
Wow, that's awesome. And I think you're totally right that a lot of people are faced with sort of this choice of continuing with the same old, or sort of walking into that fear. Was there anything that sort of helped you to do that? Did you go through any formal training to become a coach, or how did you sort of start on that path?
I did go through training. I kind of didn't actually know what a coach really was or did.
Yeah.
I knew therapy. I knew therapy well for most of my life. I started therapy at 14 and I'm 50 now. So okay. I knew therapy, but I didn't know coaching. And you know how we always say Apple's always listening, right? So you could talk about something and then an ad pops up in your phone or on your computer.
Yeah.
And I think I came across something and I started investigating and I found coaching and I started to just do my research. And the more I looked into it, the more I realized, you know, there's a variety of things that I could look at. There was, you know, the weekend life coaching course. Mm. And then there was, you know, the 1 year coaching course. There was the $150 coaching course. And there was the $25,000 coaching course.
Yeah.
And so basically what I did was I kind of like did a layout of all of them and what they offered and their pricing and their timelines, and found myself in the middle of it all, which was a program that offered me pretty much what I was looking for and what I thought would really catapult me out in a price point that, you know, was an investment for me, but I knew I felt good about. So I jumped in and I knew within the first week that I had found my calling.
Wow.
I knew that I had found my life's work and that I was really fortunate at 48 to be able to make that change. And it wasn't, I will say this, Allie, it wasn't easy, because I left a very secure job. I left a salary.
Mm.
I left benefits and benefits that carried me through a medical, you know, transition of my life.
Yeah.
I was going to turn the other direction and walk away from all of it, but I had to believe that it was all worth it and that the universe had my back and that I didn't get a second chance at life to continue the old journey. So I just took it.
Wow. So brave just to leave that all behind, especially after going through the medical things that you went through.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in the U.S. it's not so easy to pay for all of those things. And
it is not.
It's scary. Yeah.
It's very scary. But, you know, I've been very lucky. And so the coaching program I went through was 8 months. And then I became certified. And then it was, okay, where do you want to go from here? And, you know, I think every new coach, even like the big, you know, gurus that every people follow in the world, people know, like Tony Robbins, you throw that one out there, or Mel Robbins, or just people that we know of, all started in the very beginning place of going, okay, I want to do this, but where do I go with it? And kind of trying out different areas. And I did that. I tried out different things. And then in the end came back to my own story, which it's funny because most people thought it was my medical journey. So I will say this, I have MS and I had a stem cell transplant to stop the progression because nothing else was working and I was losing all my faculties. So it was, you know, most people were like, oh, she's going to coach on that, which of course would seem like the one thing to get into because I knew it and it was my story. But my story, that was one piece. But my story started when I was a little girl. and it started in pain and some trauma, emotional. And, you know, I think everybody goes through things. Everybody goes through things with our parents, you know, disagreements and being told we can't do things or wanting to do stuff and kind of having our voice pushed down, not because they're trying to do something to hurt us or quiet us. It's because they, you know, our parents, I'm a parent, I'm not sure your status, but, you know, we get to make those choices when our kids are young and we think they don't know enough. And we learn, we pick up these behaviors from our programming, and those behaviors become our identity as we grow up. And so whether it's from parental things, whether it's caretakers, teachers, friends, relationships, you know, whatever it may be, family stuff, it's all these little pieces that, that get, you know, I use the word broken, even though it's probably not a good word to use in the sense of a mental health or emotional space, but I do use it because that's how I felt. I felt like little tiny pieces of me were broken along the way. And when I got to this transitional place and became a coach, and the process of becoming a coach is going through, you're doing the work on yourself to make sure you can do it on someone else. Yeah. And the transformation was more than I could have ever imagined. More came out than I ever even knew. And so the healing journey that I went on, which actually started before I was a coach, it was a journey that I went on to heal some places inside. So it had been a 7-year journey already. And this kind of was the final phases of doing the work that I felt would make me the coach that I am today. And so after trying out different places, I came back to inner child healing. And I found that a lot of people don't quite understand that term. So I kind of intertwine it with inner critic. You know, we all have those self-limiting beliefs and that negative talk that we tell ourselves when we don't like something about ourselves, or when we feel less than, or we feel not good enough, not smart enough, not pretty enough, not, you know, and not loved enough, not heard. And so it, all of those feelings that we get and we tell ourselves come from something that we've gone through.
Sure.
That have led us to that path. So I decided that that was the journey that I went on for so many years. And I realized that was my gift to give back.
Yeah, I love that. There's so many interesting things in that. I love the fact that you sort of didn't identify with your disease and let that define you and let that define your career path. And you kind of went a little bit deeper into your past and really had a look at what was there. Because I think, as I'm sure you can attest to, a lot of people don't.
No. And they don't want to. Nobody wants to go to a place and bring up things that were painful, whatever they may be.
Sure.
And like I said, it could have been an argument with a good friend, but something that shook you. Could have been a breakup in a relationship. It could have been a fight with a family member. It could have been something that happened to you from your parents. You know, some of that was things that I was told by teachers.
Yeah.
You know, I think that if we don't go to those places and do the deep work, then what I call emotional triggers, which is really, you know, part of the inner child work that I do, is identifying, helping women identify their emotional triggers.
Yes.
Taking that and learning to change the responses. So that's really the depths of what I do in the process. And if we don't go back to those places, those unhealed parts of us, the triggers will always show up.
Yeah, right. So in a sense, it's like you might as well sort of go through that uncomfortable feeling now and move through it, then have to sort of sit in that for the rest of your life, right? It's sort of worth it.
Right. And also I think we don't like to go to those places because we don't want to feel certain feelings or emotions. But the key is that we can't just feel joy and happiness and love and, you know, every other happy thing or elated feeling that gives us that serotonin boost and dopamine boost. But we have to also feel the pain and sadness and brokenness, because by feeling them, I have a history of depression in my family, and I've struggled with that, and I'm very vocal about it because I think everybody needs to be vocal about mental health today.
Yeah.
And being a coach, I'm still human first. So I'm very open about that.
Yeah.
But for me, a lot of the parts that I look back on when I see the depression patterns come in is because I'm trying to push it away. I'm trying to fight it.
Mm.
And I'm trying to say, I don't want this today. And why do I feel this? And why? And why? Instead of just saying, okay, I recognize you're here. I know you're trying to show me something that I'm struggling with. And I know I'm going to learn something from this episode. So
yeah.
Maybe today I'm not going to do some work. Maybe today I'm going to lay on the sofa under a blanket with a cup of tea and I'm going to watch Netflix all day because that's what my brain needs. But I'm not going to shy you away and I'm not going to tell you to leave me. I'm going to ride this wave. And when we can accept all parts of us, not just the good, but we have to accept that we have bad days and we have to accept the feelings that come up. And when we do and when we listen, it's growth.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's not all rainbows and butterflies.
It's not,
is it,
and that's
right?
Okay. That's okay. And when we recognize it's okay to not have that, then that shift starts to happen.
And I think that's so great that you give women permission to say that that's not okay, because I think we've been conditioned to sort of, as women, be graceful and happy and good mothers and all the other stereotypes, and to sort of say, okay, this is what's real. This is what's authentic. This is life.
Exactly.
It seems obvious, but I feel like people need to hear that.
It's true, because like what you said, we have been conditioned as women to be mothers and hold down the fort and do all the, things that we have to do, and to be able to do a job and be able to run in the big circles with the boys. And, the thing is that whether it's female or male, we're all human first. And every emotion is a human emotion. So we have to love all parts of us, all of them.
Yes.
And we have to accept all of them. I so want women to realize that, like you said, it's not all, rainbows, butterflies, and cupcakes. It's so okay to not live life like that, because that's not human.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm just curious, is there anything that sort of led you to work with women in particular?
Yes, I was open a few years ago to working with anybody that needed my assistance in this area.
Yeah.
But I had a situation where I did work with a gentleman, and he was lovely, and he was really struggling with something pretty heavy. And we worked together for a few months, and it didn't matter what I did or say. I couldn't help him, but I did get him to mental health professionals. Psychiatrists, therapists, doctors.
Okay.
I really did everything that I could for him. And in the end, he took his life.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
That was hard. It was hard because my heart broke for what had happened. And my heart broke that no matter what we did together, I'm not a magic worker. Nobody is. Not his therapist, psychiatrist, doctors.
Course.
Nobody could change that. And I realized that it wasn't just me. It was a team of medical people. And we all felt the same way, because there was one of his doctors that I had spoken to, because we had permission to talk to each other in that journey. And we all felt the same way. So I that's what got me through, is that I wasn't alone in that process, feeling like I couldn't do more. And it's not that that couldn't happen with a woman as a client, but something just shook me a little bit. And I realized that as a woman, there are just certain things I relate to differently in a woman, because men and women are so different in the way we are made, in our makeup. A man's brain functions very different than a woman's brain. As different as our bodies are, is how different our brains can be. And I realized that I just felt more comfortable in this space.
Yeah. Okay, I understand that. And I'm so sorry to hear about that. I think the work you do must be somewhat heavy sometimes. Do you feel that?
I do feel it. And I hold a lot of space during my sessions with people and our work. But I have learned how to, at the end of a session, I have learned to, pull myself together afterwards and go back to my world. because
Yeah.
I have to. I remember when I first started out as a coach, it was really hard. It was really hard to learn the
Yeah.
separation. But I'm somebody who has very strong boundaries. I also believe in boundaries. I teach boundaries,
Yeah.
and I formed very strong ones around that topic of being able to separate.
Yeah.
Because it is, inner child is very
Imagine.
heavy work.
What kind of things do you do with your clients? Do you sort of take them through visualizations, or is it sort of related to therapy? Do you sort of rehash events they've lived, or how does that work
So
exactly?
I like to say this, therapists, and especially in this area, I'm all for it. I think that, everybody should have a therapist and a coach.
Okay, so it's
It
complementary.
is. And therapists are so amazing in, stress management and mental health diagnostics and treatments. That is not where I go. I'm not a licensed medical professional or therapist. I don't ever
Yeah,
claim to
okay.
be. But part of what I do, but a coach takes somebody from where they are today to where they want to be. But in inner healing work, part of that is having to, the first parts of that work is identifying the story. So I want women to identify the stories and where they come from. And that helps to pull out the triggers that keep showing up in their life today so that we can
Okay.
reframe them so that we can change the responses to those triggers. And part of that is digging into the story of past because that's where it comes from. But we don't stay there. Whereas
Yeah.
therapy works really well on back to those places and staying there to work on those different pieces. I want to get the story from the past, but I want to take it to today and then move it forward to where you want to be. Where do you see yourself living your best life? And that's where we're working towards.
Okay, I see what you mean. Just in case people aren't necessarily familiar with emotional triggers, could you maybe give us an
Sure.
example?
So an emotional trigger would be, I'll use myself and as an example, because I think that will be clear. And since I don't know you
Okay.
enough to pull your trigger out, I won't use you.
Thank you. Whew. Emotional triggers will not be revealed on the podcast today. Not
I'll
today,
use
at least.
myself, but let's go for a past. I am divorced and I am now in a new relationship of, over a year now with somebody. And there are
Okay.
behaviors, there are things that come up that will trigger a response. So I'll feel like a flushing in me. And then the thought pattern comes to put me exactly where I was in a past marriage with some behaviors from my ex-husband. And I'm now taking that trigger response and I'm putting it on this person.
Okay.
Because the behavior that they just did or something that they said brought me back immediately to a place that was really distressing for me.
Okay.
I could sit in that trigger, but what I've done in my work, and this is what I do, is the trigger will come up now. And I use the example of like a visualization would be, tapping my shoulder and saying, it's almost like a little reminder, hey, I see you. Thanks for showing up and reminding me of this experience. But then I kind of brush my shoulder and I say, but I'm good because I've grown and I'm stronger and you can't actually throw me off today.
Wow, I love that.
That is the way that I work on releasing because I don't believe that triggers always go away. I don't believe they disappear forever. But I believe that we can
Okay.
learn to change our responses to a healthy way so they don't derail us. So another way of a trigger, emotional trigger would be, you could be in a crowd of friends or out to dinner or at a party or wherever, and somebody makes a comment and they think it's a funny thing or, and everybody's laughing. And then one person just kind of is still because whatever was said triggered them into a place of the past where an experience took place, and all of a sudden they are derailed for the whole day. They're in a bad mood. They can't get out of it. All they keep thinking is some negative thought about what was said, even if it wasn't about them.
Yeah,
So everybody else has
yeah.
gone on, but this particular statement or behavior threw them off and now their whole day is ruined, you know? And the truth is, we can't take 10 seconds of our day and let it ruin 24 hours.
Yeah.
And we do. We do. Yeah. We do it every day.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think everybody, myself included, can relate to that. And I love the whole thing of kind of acknowledging it on your shoulder and then sort of sweeping it off. It kind of reminds me of meditation in a way, where, you know, if sort of like sounds or outside stimuli come into your field of awareness, you kind of say, okay, this is here. I acknowledge this. And then you kind of sweep it off, right? We say, but I'm going to continue my meditation. You know, I'm not going to let it sort of derail me, as you say.
And I like to give those the visualization, because it's something to remember, and it's a, you know, I like to say it's an anchor. So it's like you're anchoring in and you're grounding in to remind yourself. So when that pain comes up, you just like, okay, tap your shoulder and say, I see you. I hear you. So the trigger wants to be seen and it wants to be heard, just like everybody does. I got it. But I'm strong today and I'm not going to let it derail me. And I'm going to move forward in such a good place. But thank you. Thank you for showing me how strong I am. So use the trigger when it comes up as the reminder of growth, because it will come up. It will. That's just psychology. That's human behavior.
I love that, seeing that as a reminder of growth instead of, you know, letting that ruin your whole day. That's so much more productive. And I'm just kind of curious, what do you think about the whole inner child thing kind of becoming, I don't want to say a fad, but kind of becoming, coming into sort of popular culture, popular awareness? I mean, do you resonate with that? Do you think it's a good thing? Do you think it's a negative thing?
I do think the term is, you know, is kind of mainstream right now. But I do think it's a good thing, because it's mental health awareness. And we're moving more into a time where mental health is in the forefront, and it should be in the forefront. And it's a conversation that everybody needs to have and shouldn't be afraid to talk about, because it's been kept in the dark too long. And that is why there are so many situations of things that have happened in our schools, things that have happened, you know, on the roads, things that have happened in places that are unfortunate. I don't really want to, you know, state all those things, but when we're brought up to not talk about it, or that it's something, you know, like, don't wear your heart on your sleeve, you know, don't bring conflict into life, and don't let people see that side of you.
Yeah.
Then we're brought up to stuff everything inside, and we keep those unhealed places stacking on top of each other. And they just keep pushing and pushing. You know, when the stack gets so big, it literally shoves every good thing down. When you're so full of those issues that you have not been allowed to talk about, or been told you can't talk about because it's not right, the explosion happens, because nobody can hold that. Nobody should have to hold it. It's unnatural.
That's so true. And that actually reminds me of another interview I did with a woman named Christine, and she sort of said the same thing in a certain way. She's an intuitive, right? And she was speaking a little bit about her experience with violence against Asian Americans in the US, and she kind of said the same thing. It all goes back to people's own spiritual work, or lack of spiritual work on themselves, right? And I think that's so true.
That kind of work, it's not religious. So it's not tied to any religion or race or, you know, gender or sexuality, male, female. It's just, it's mental health. We all have it. Everybody has it. I mean, it just is. And we have to be able to talk about it. We have to make our kids aware of it. We have to make younger people more aware of it, and that it's okay to talk about it. You have to. You have to let it go. You have to be able to feel safe to release it. There are three basic human needs in life. Three basic human needs to exist: safety, loving, and belonging. We need to feel safe, we need to feel loved, and we need to feel like we belong. And when you take those away, any of them, your world is rocked. And every situation we live in life, and every person that we encounter, those things come up.
Totally resonates, and I think it resonates with a lot of people. What would you say to our listeners who are maybe recognizing these sort of triggers in themselves, and who are curious about inner child work? Where is the place that somebody can sort of start, or how could they sort of start this type of work?
I would say, first and foremost, to be able to be aware. So be aware that you have the triggers. So a lot of times they're specific, you know, it's something that keeps coming up in situations. It's certain behaviors that trigger you, or certain statements that trigger you, or, you know, put yourself into a place that you can't go to. So to be able to be aware that they're happening is number one. And then to start to identify where they're coming from. Can you remember a situation that makes, when you hear this or see this or encounter this behavior around you, can you identify where it may have come from? What situation do you remember that first thing happening? So being aware that you have them, starting to identify them is the first place. And then to either contact a mental health professional or contact a coach that does that work solely, because there's coaches that do a lot of things, but you want to be, you want to work with someone that kind of does that solely because they have more experience in it. And it is, it's a dark, it's a deep, not dark, but it's a deep place. You have to dig deep inside yourself to do it.
Yeah. And I think that's a great way to start out. Well, if our listeners would like to connect with you personally, where can they find you and your services online?
So you can find me on Facebook. I have a private group on Facebook called Wellness Warriors. So it's Wellness Warriors with Allie Roberts. You can join that group or, you know, click in and answer questions and I will approve you. But it's a place where I do, I'm very active in there and I do a lot of inspiration and motivation. And then Instagram, allie.j.roberts is my handle. I do stuff there. And then allieroberts.com is my website. So you can always find all my contact information plus a calendar link that you can go in if you want to schedule a call with me. My clarity calls are all always complimentary. So it's just a conversation of, you know, would I be a good fit for you? Would you be a good fit for me? And, you know, where do we want to go with our work together? Or if somebody just wants a conversation and has questions, they can always book that call. I wanted to mention on my Instagram, if you go into the link in my bio on Instagram, there's a link tree. And on one of them is if you click 5 steps to heal your inner critic or to quiet your inner critic, it's kind of just a freebie, but it gives you some information of the steps to get started if you're looking to do the work.
Awesome. So a lot of great resources. And before we close, I just want to say, in case people haven't watched the trailer and they're just listening to the audio, Allie has an awesome painting in the background that says, "If nothing changes, nothing changes," which is so true. And I think that's a good thought to close with. So thank you, Allie, so much for being here.
Oh my gosh, it was
my
pleasure. And thank you so much for inviting me to be a guest. Thank you for sharing the work.
And we hope that it's going to help some women out there.
I hope so too.
So thanks so much. And
okay, thank you.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Emerge and Shine Academy. Put yourself out there, move past the fear of public speaking, and have fun doing it. Our monthly membership is 3 sessions a month and a supportive community of women. Don't dim your light, embrace your shine. Learn more on Instagram at Emerge and Shine or on Facebook, Emerge and Shine. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode of Say Your Piece.